Welcome to Midpoint. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. Today we have several topics on Midpoint. I'd like to hear what you have to say about them. We'll hear from an activist in Tampa who's organizing a town hall meeting and has invited Senator Marco Rubio. Also today is President's Day, but one of our guests is helping to organize a protest in Pasco County called No President's Day. This week, Tampa City Council will discuss its controversial ban on sharing food in city parks. And also, we'll probably hear from Milo Yiannopoulos to hear what he's the latest scandal that he has brought upon himself. We'll take your calls. The number is 813-239-9663. You can email your question or comment to DJ at WMNF.org or text us at 813-433-0885. But first, here's a listener commenting about our last show. The topic was President Donald Trump's travel ban on people from seven Muslim-majority countries. We heard from a USF student who is stuck in Iran. Here's what one listener had to say about that show.
Hi, Sean. Great listening to your show. I tried calling in quite a bit. First of all, my background, grew up in New York. Iranian friends, people from all over the walks of life have been my friends and family my whole life. Why we are constantly taking this issue into a personal realm, I understand that this affects so many people on a personal level, and my heart goes out to them. I truly mean that. But what I don't understand is that we're not talking about the elephant in the room whatsoever. I don't think that this 90-day border ban is really an issue of attacking Iranian students or attacking Muslim people who have acculturated into our country or business owners. Or I don't find this as a personal attack. What we're failing to like look at is that over the last 8 years, in 2016 alone, okay, we have dropped 28,000 bombs on these areas, except for, of course, Turkey, in terms of the countries that are being banned into the United States. But Turkey, once again, and Saudi Arabia, from what I understand, Turkey is one of our intelligence sources to Syria through Assad. Maybe that's why there's no ban. Saudi Arabia, let's just call it what it is. It owns the United States of America. But we're not looking at the rise and fall of Wahhabism in Islam. And this is what the problem is. It is not Muslim people. It is not Islam per se. We're talking about extreme Wahhabism that has spread throughout the world, throughout Europe, being partially funded by Saudi Arabia. And in fact, the Muslim population, the Muslim people need to stand against this, because this is not what true Islam is. This is what is basically causing this entire rift here. And it's like saying the KKK is a really great example of Christianity. That's what Wahhabism is to Islam, is like what the KKK is to Christianity. And I think we need to really look at the history of the United States, what we've done over there in the Middle East, how many bombs and millions of places that we've destroyed, and what's happening in Europe in terms of all the refugees spreading throughout the land. So I just wish that people would talk about these issues as opposed to taking this and putting it into a personal container, which is not the case whatsoever. That's not my feeling anyway.
Well, that was one listener commenting about our last show. Later on in the broadcast, I'll give out the number for you to leave a voicemail. You can always listen to previous shows and comment on the stories on our website. That's WMNF.org/news. You can join the conversation on Twitter or Facebook at WMNF News. Well, let's look at our first topic, which is a town hall meeting that's scheduled for Wednesday night in Tampa. Organizers have invited Senator Marco Rubio. Our guest here in the studio is Melissa Gallagher. Welcome to WMNF's Midpoint, Melissa.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. So it's being organized by a group called Indivisible Tampa. And people who may have read the Tampa Bay Times are familiar now with Indivisible, but tell us some more about Indivisible Tampa.
Sure. Indivisible Tampa really is a gathering of concerned Tampa Bay voters. And we gather twice a week or twice a month, every other Sunday. And we get together to talk about our concerns about the political environment. And it's a nonpartisan group. So we have individuals that are Republicans, independents, and Democrats, or libertarians, an assortment of folks with concerns.
Your background is what?
I actually am in the natural health field, and I'm a mom and am now becoming more involved in the political environment because I have a lot at stake as a mother, a business owner, and a citizen here in Tampa Bay and a U.S. citizen, and have found it greatly concerning some of the things that are going on for my clients in the healthcare arena, and then also for friends and individuals that I know in our community that are, if not currently directly impacted, and more than likely will be impacted by some of the things happening.
You have a town hall event that's coming up on Wednesday.
Correct.
And your intention was to invite Senator Marco Rubio. And what have you heard from Senator Rubio?
I actually have not heard anything from him or his team. I personally reached out to his email. We've tried calling. I've communicated or tried to communicate. It's one way right now with the chief of staff, the press secretaries, and also the director of constituent services to invite Marco Rubio, if not in person. Definitely with technology now, we can Skype folks in and have them present wherever they are. But just like many individuals, not only here in Tampa Bay, but across Florida and even through the nation, we're having a hard time connecting with Rubio and other congressional members.
And we're learning that he might be traveling in Europe right now.
That is correct. That came out just this morning, a few hours ago, that there was a post on Facebook. As of Friday, later in the evening, when the different staffers were talking to folks on the phone, when they were able to get through, staffers have been communicating to constituents here in Florida, inviting them to our town hall. The correspondence has been greatly varied. He didn't know about it, or it's a hoax, or he wasn't attending. None of the communication was the fact that his agenda put Europe on his travel schedule for the in-district week this week, and none of the communication relayed any time that he was planning to host a town hall.
And when you say in-district week, that's a time when senators are out of Washington. They have the chance to be in their home state of Florida, for example, to be talking with constituents.
Yes, that is actually the plan for them to get in the field, to talk with the voters, talk with the individuals who support them and voted for them, and even for folks that have not, to address the concerns of the voters and the constituents that they represent as elected representatives.
And I should say that I wanted to invite Senator Rubio on the show, or at least find out if he was going to attend the town hall. I did call. It said that I didn't get a message. I got a voicemail. The voicemail said, leave a message at the beep or whatever. And then it said, the mailbox is full. And it said, I'm sorry, I'm going into too much detail, but I think this is important information. Then it said, well, if you want to be transferred to the to the operator, hit zero. And so I did that, and I held on and let it ring, I would say, around 6 minutes. It's hard to tell exactly. I didn't time it, but it was about 6 or 7 minutes that I let it ring, and then finally had to just move on to whatever else I was doing. So we did make a pretty serious attempt to get Senator Rubio, or at least find out what his intentions are about Wednesday's town hall meeting. No success. So we hope to hear back from that campaign soon, or not the campaign, from his office soon. I should say our guest is Melissa Gallagher. She's with Indivisible Tampa, and she is helping to organize a town hall meeting in Tampa on Wednesday night where Senator Marco Rubio has been invited. And there are three major topics that you say that you want to cover, and that's healthcare, national security, and foreign affairs. Why those subjects? What makes those the most important?
Well, there's honestly so many topics that are important. That's been something that we've seen on the Facebook feed. The event page is desire to talk about education and the environment, which are all very important. We chose, obviously, healthcare is a big one right now with the discussions about the Affordable Care Act. And then also we based it on some of the committees that Senator Rubio is on, and specifically his ability to influence or have some degree of power regarding some of the investigations regarding national security, addressing concerns about Steve Bannon on the National Security Council, and similarly, our relations when it comes to different foreign powers. So every day, honestly, there's something that comes up that many of those three topics are a concern or issue for voters here in Florida.
Foreign topics, foreign affairs, you would think that maybe Russia and the dealings, Russia's dealings with the United States, especially regarding the election that might come up. Absolutely. Is that something that you anticipate will be talked about?
Absolutely. And in fact, the Facebook post that Marco Rubio's team put out was that he was traveling to Europe specifically to investigate or make sure that there was not any Russian influence in the European elections. Now, as voters here, having just gone through an election and some of the things that have come out over the last few weeks, I think it's really important that we have a representative here that focuses on the current domestic issues and relations specifically to Russian interference in our own democratic process. That's a huge issue. And I know without a doubt, we've been seeing Facebook posts and comments about that. And I would imagine people will be bringing questions and concerns regarding that specifically.
If you have a question or a comment for Melissa Gallagher, she's helping to organize a town hall meeting this Wednesday in Tampa, and she's part of Indivisible Tampa. Here's the number to call, 813-239-9663. If you want, you can email us at dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. There have been town hall meetings where there have been members of Congress attending, and we saw this in 2009, 2010. We saw that some of them erupted into shouting matches, and even recently, including here locally, some of the times that there have been town hall meetings, they've been very heated because people are saying things like, you know, the Affordable Care Act. Some people are saying take it away, and some people are saying we want to keep it. Is that something that you anticipate might happen either if Senator Rubio does join you or if he doesn't?
Sure. I think specifically what is happening is what you're referencing is the intense emotions that come with a lot of these issues. And I think the root of that is not being heard. When folks try to call like you did yourself and you got an empty or full voicemail and you go to a hold line, it makes an individual feel like they don't care to be heard. So that sometimes results in that sort of emotion. So we are anticipating that people will be coming with some intense concerns, but we also have a very strong planning committee that's been working on this, and we want to give everybody the appropriate civil and non-confrontational outlet to be able to voice their concerns. And in fact, at our town hall, we have many different individuals that have stepped up in here in our local area that are going to be filming and videoing live and asking people if they choose to present their stories or questions on video. And we will be packaging that up and sending it to Senator Rubio's office to view. Similarly, we have a postcard campaign that we will be producing where folks can actually write out their concerns if they don't feel comfortable. Because a town hall setting, we right now have over 900 people that are attending or are confirmed to attend, and over 2,900 that are interested. And so that format might not be comfortable for people to communicate up front. But yes, we are anticipating just high intensity, and we want to try and make it a very comfortable civil environment, because I think at the end of the day, this is a nonpartisan issue. We as voters and Americans are very concerned about the democratic process, our safety, our healthcare, and all the other concerns that follow. And to really have the right type of dialogue, we need to have an environment that is safe and that is without any type of discord that would make people feel uncomfortable. And open lines of communication, it has to be a two-way street. So this environment, even though he has not confirmed any type of attendance, we wanted to give wings to people's voices, and people will be streaming live. We actually will be streaming the event live on our Facebook, the invite page, and I know a lot of other people are going to be tweeting live, and so folks that cannot attend can view it as well.
What's the name of the Facebook page that'll be tweeting live? Streaming live?
Sure. It's a searchable event, and it is called the Senator Marco Rubio Tampa Town Hall. And through that that page is primarily where we'll be set up. And then through other resources, the Tampa Bay Times is going to have a videographer out as well. And we've had other communication with the local and some national news networks too.
Well, we have some people on the calls on the line that want to ask questions. So let's start with Mary in Tampa. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Sean. Yeah, I'm calling because I am one of Marco Rubio's constituents, and I have called him for each of the appointments that Trump has made to his cabinet. And I got to speak to someone the first, maybe the second time that I called earlier in January. But as time progressed, every time I called, I was never able to get through. The voicemail was full. There was no human person answering the phone. And I feel that Marco Rubio is absent without leave on his job as a taxpayer-funded senator. And, you know, my tax dollars are paying for him, and I'm not getting service. So I think that he should be available to all of his constituents, Republican, Democrat, and everybody in between.
All right. Thank you for that call, Mary. Do you have a response?
Yeah, I can totally relate, Mary. I actually, one of the prompts for this town hall, I went in person to his office, and I have a 18 or 16 month old baby, and he was on his nap time sleeping in a stroller. So I roll in and chatted with a really nice staffer. Her name is Shauna here in our Tampa office. And I have usually a series of questions that I want to ask in person. I found has been the best way to communicate with him. Not everybody has the chance because of the working office hour. But what I did notice was that when I was there, not once, it was a 20 minute time frame that I was afforded to chat with Shauna. That whole 20-minute time frame, not a single phone call came through. And so that made me think, oh, okay, they've shut the phone lines. Because a lot of people are concerned and people are calling. Mm-hmm. And so that was really frustrating. And when I left the office and downstairs in the lobby, I tried the phone number, and guess what? It went straight to a voicemail, and it was a full voicemail.
Wow.
I know. So I totally feel your frustration and you know, we're recommending faxing because that's another format to get your communication out to them. And then similarly, a lot of the posts, I saw folks already responding on the Facebook post about him going to Europe today. It's a trying time when you feel like your voice is being shut off.
Well, along with you, I think I want to encourage everyone to show up at this town hall meeting. Because if they're sending all the voicemails, all the phone calls to voicemail, they're not listening to them, and they're going to throw those faxes into the trash. I think people need to show up in person, and we will attract the news, and this will be on the media. And if we don't take action now, we will lose our democracy because it is fast disappearing.
Mary, thanks so much for that call. I want to read an email. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. Tony writes, Charlie Crist, the recently elected new congressmember from Pinellas County, seems to have avoided making any negative comments about Trump. I'd like to see him hold a town hall meeting in St. Petersburg and tell us what he thinks about Trump's hardly guarded threats against the free press. Also, Democratic Senator Nelson has been too quiet. So that's the opinion of Tony out there in cyberspace. Suzanne says, even my email to him yesterday came back to me, failure to deliver. And I believe her subject line says Rubio. So those are two emailers who have who are also wanting more response from their members of Congress. Let's see if we can go to one more phone line before I let you go. Let's hear what would you like to say, Mike in Tampa?
Yeah, I wanted to ask, what about U.S. interference in the Washington election when we went over and spent $100 million to help re-elect Yeltsin, and Clinton personally endorsed Yeltsin and did everything he could to help Yeltsin get re-elected, and we go and topple governments and interfere in elections and do things like that all the time? What's the difference between the Washington doing it and us doing it?
All right. Thanks, Mike. So Mike is asking, you know, there's been accusations of Russia interfering in U.S. elections, and that's something that the U.S. does all over the world all the time. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think us focusing on our domestic security is absolutely essential. And like Mary said before, our democracy really is at risk. And I think that press conference the other day is very telling. It essentially sets the tone and allows for all members of Congress to skirt hearing the voices of their constituents. And Mary was right. They work for us. We pay for them through our taxpayer dollars, and we're all working hard right now to support that. And so we definitely have to hold them accountable.
Melissa, let me tell people where this town hall meeting is. It's Wednesday, this Wednesday, February 22nd from 7 until 9 in the evening at the Tampa Letter Carriers Hall. That's at 3003 West Cypress Street. And it's called on Facebook if you want to search for the Senator Marco Rubio Tampa Town Hall. Is there anything else that you'd like to say before we move on?
Sure. I just would like to encourage everybody, regardless of where you stand in the political spectrum, that this is a really important time for all of us to not be complacent and to really become engaged and active in our community. I wouldn't label myself an activist. I'd label myself a concerned Florida voter. And we're all in this together. And I think when we talk about unifying our political world, we all have to actively come together and really harness what the original patriots harnessed in bringing us our liberty and freedom. We've got to come together and we've got to address all of these concerns and issues. And it really it falls on us and our individual responsibilities to step up and to not tune out and to really get involved. So my message to everybody listening and tuning in would be to really look at your involvement level and any way that you can get involved, be it come to our town hall or email or call your representatives. I think you'll feel more engaged and feel more powerful. And it speaks volumes. When we shut down phone lines and emails bounce back because servers are full, they're taking notice. Even if they don't want to listen or respond to us, they're aware.
Well, Melissa, thanks so much for joining me on WMNF's Midpoint today.
Thank you.
Melissa Gallagher is with Indivisible Tampa, and they're hosting a town hall meeting Wednesday night in Tampa, West Cypress Street from 7 to 9. We're going to hear a short music break right now, and let me give you the phone number. It's 813-239-9663. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. It's 12:28 in the afternoon. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday, and when we come back, we'll hear all about what No President's Day is. Stay with us. Back to WMNF's Midpoint. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. It's 12:30 in the afternoon. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. And we're still taking your calls. The number is 813-239-9663. Email is dj@wmnf.org. Text 813-433-0885. And today is President's Day. Our next guest is in the studio, is helping to organize a protest that's this afternoon in Port Richey, and it's called No President's Day. So welcome back to WMNF's Midpoint, Betty Jo Pasalacqua? Am I pronouncing that?
Close enough.
Okay.
Pasalacqua.
Pasalacqua. I'm sorry about that, Betty Jo. So tell us, what does that mean, no President's Day?
Well, on one point, it means we are certainly not celebrating the president that we have today. And I think your listeners can understand that. I don't need to go into the points of his egregious behavior and the executive orders that have normalized hatred, racism, Islamophobia, and other heinous crimes against humanity. But more than that, we want to say that it is time that this country understand that we cannot elect one person, one leader, one savior that is going to fix all of our problems. It has never worked since George Washington until now. We have to take the responsibility for our country. We have to take the responsibility for those who are elected into office and not give our power over to any one individual ever. Since this country was founded, there was the genocide of the Native Americans. There was the enslavement of African Americans. And these were all done under the idea of a president can lead us to a better place. I know many of my friends feel like we are in the darkest days this country has known, but in fact, the Native Americans, the people of color, people who are not cisgender, have experienced this darkness all their lives. And right now, I feel like this country is undergoing so much turmoil. But at the same time, I feel this current of love and strength. It's like in the air and you can grab it. And that's what we have to do. We have to grab it and we have to go with it.
Our guest is Betty Jo Pasalacqua, and she's with a group called Florida Peace Action Network, and they're holding a No President's Day rally this afternoon at 4 in Port Richey. What's Florida Peace Action Network?
Well, Florida Peace Action Network was founded 12 years ago. We'll have our 12th anniversary on Mother's Day this year. We did it at the time in response to the war on Iraq. We hold a peace vigil every Friday morning from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. We've never missed a Friday in this 12 years. And we are open to everybody. We cover a number of topics. We are inclusive to any social justice issue.
Let me ask you, tell us about where it is. So I'm seeing it's at 4 o'clock in Port Richey and it's on US 19. What are some nearby landmarks if people want to go and join you?
We are in front of a Culver's restaurant. There's a Wawa gas station on the opposite corner and a Hyundai dealership across the street from where we're at. We are on the southwest corner of the intersection. There's parking available at the Wawa gas station if you park on the outer perimeter, and also there's a Walmart in back of that people can park at.
Let's go to the phones. Our guest is Betty Jo Pasalacqua, and this is a topic is No President's Day. There's a rally this afternoon in Port Richey, No President's Day. Jim in St. Pete, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there, Jim.
Oh, hey. You just goes crackle. I can't hear you. It's really admirable that these people have been doing this for 12 years. And no time like the present. What I wanted to say was the previous caller talked about Charlie Crist. And this is a guy that you usually hear something from. We've heard absolutely not a peep out of this guy. And I understand that his wife, as you probably know, is extremely rich. But his wife has sort of given him a dictate saying she doesn't really want to hear anything negative. So this could be behind why you don't hear anything from Charlie, but he needs to step up. You know, that I see on TV the guy he defeated, who is a Republican, But he's, you know, this guy minces no words when he talks about this, about Trump and about the situation. You know, where's Charlie? We all wonder.
Are you in that district?
Yes.
Who did you vote for, if you don't mind saying?
Well, Charlie Crist, you know, as much as I think, when I think of Charlie, I think of Chain Gang Charlie. But as I told my neighbor, you can pretty much count on him to vote the right way. It's just that he's wishy-washy. He's always been that way. So, you know, who knows? But, yeah, it's really not a matter of, you know, voting for a Republican in this county. You shouldn't do that anymore. They, you know, they really don't represent the population any longer in Pinellas.
So the reason I asked, and I'm going to have to guess at your answer, I was going to ask because it sounds like if you did vote for Charlie Crist, you're just unhappy with the job he's doing and you wish that he would, you know, represent you more.
Well, I think he needs to represent all of us. But we all know, I mean, this guy's been around forever. I have friends who are friends of his. And, you know, he's a talker. You know, he's a glad hander. He can't wait to get out there and mix it up with people and talk to them. Doesn't, on the stranger on the rope line, he'll stop and talk with them for 15 minutes. So I'm just wondering, where is he? What's he doing?
Okay, Jim, thanks so much for the questions, and we're going to let Betty Jo respond.
I would just like to reiterate that the politicians are not going to save us. We have to stand up for ourselves. We have to unite together. We have to resist the corrupt system that we're living under.
All right, Betty Jo, thanks so much for joining us on WMNS Midpoint today. Betty Jo Pasalacqua is it with Florida Peace Action Network, and they're rallying today at 4 o'clock in Port Richey, U.S. 19. It's 8425 U.S. 19 in Port Richey, and the rally will be No President's Day. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Well, you're listening
for having us.
Thank you so much. You're listening to WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM. It's 12:38 in the afternoon, and we're going to continue to take your calls after this, and we're going to hear some more sound. Right now, we're going to take a quick music break. You can continue to call 813-239-9663. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Midpoint. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. It's 12:39 in the afternoon, and you're listening to some Band of Gypsies right there. Well, television personality Bill Maher is taking heat for inviting alt-right leader Milo Yiannopoulos to on his talk show, and Rob mentioned that a little bit last hour. And, but we're going to cover something slightly different here because it's some breaking news about Milo, as we, I guess, casually call him sometimes. He's in even more hot water today for comments he made that seem to endorse pedophilia. On Twitter, the Reagan Battalion posted a video of Yiannopoulos, who will be a keynote speaker at the CPAC convention this year. And we're going to listen to the audio from this, from the video, and hear why a lot of conservatives are upset that he's going to be talking at their conference, the CPAC conference. Here's Milo Yiannopoulos.
We're talking about 1325, 1328. These things do happen perfectly consensually. Often, by the way, it's the women who suffer in these, because what normally happens in schools very often is it's an older woman with a younger boy, and the boy is the predator in that situation. The boy is like, let's see if I can f*** the gym teacher, or let's see if I can the hot maths teacher, and he does. The women fall in love with these nubile young men, these athletic young boys in their prime, and end up having their lives destroyed. They end up having to move schools, move the country, whatever. You know, the point about all this stuff is we get hung up on abuse. This is a controversial point of view, I accept, but we get hung up on this kind of, on this, you know, this sort of child abuse stuff. And to the point where we're you know, heavily policing even relationships between consenting adults, you know, sort of grad students and professors at universities. This arbitrary and oppressive idea of consent, which totally destroys, you know, the understanding that many of us have of the complexities and subtleties and complicated nature of many relationships. You know, people are messy and complex, and actually in the homosexual world particularly, some of those relationships between younger boys and older men, the sort of coming of age relationships, the relationships in which those older men help those young boys to discover who they are and give them security and safety and provide them with love and a reliable and sort of a rock where they can't speak to their parents. Some of those relationships are
molestation to me.
It sounds
yeah, well,
like
you know what
it
you
sounds like I'm Catholic priest for molestation to me.
And you know what? I'm grateful for Father Michael. I wouldn't give nearly such good if it wasn't for him.
Well, that's a really controversial video that was just released, is getting a lot of news today. That's Milo Yiannopoulos. He is an alt-right leader, and he has made comments that seem to endorse pedophilia. And a lot of conservatives are upset that he's going to be a keynote speaker at the CPAC convention this year. He was on Bill Maher on Friday night, as Rob mentioned last hour. And or maybe about a month ago or so, the publisher Simon & Schuster gave him a $20,000 book advance. And so that was very controversial. Really like to hear what you think about the future of Milo here with that talk. I mean, he seems to think that he's not, you know, it might be controversial, but what he's saying is not all that big of a deal. You know, that where there's 13-year-olds and 25-year-olds getting together, it's not that big of a deal. In fact, at the very end there, he kind of made it sound like that a priest had a sexual relationship with him when he was young, and that has made him better in some way. That's what he seems to imply now. Of course, grain of salt time. Milo is he's out there to shock. And so he could be completely bluffing, but just the talk. What do you think about this topic as something that's, you know, this is something that's in the news now, and he's going to be speaking at CPAC. Dan in Tampa, I'm trying to put you on the air. Can you put? All right, Dan, are you there now? No, Dan.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
Great. Thanks for being patient with me. What would you like to say?
I was going to speak to the Milo guy. I saw him actually. And Bill Maher, I have a hard time with Bill's last name, Maher, anyway, the other night. And it's so funny. I was kind of shocked because, you know, nothing against the gay thing or whatever. But this is a gentleman that writes for a very poor right-leaning group of people, white supremacist kind of people, in some cases, the Nazi group. They would skin him alive if, as gay as he, you know, as out as he is and all that. He's not them, but he thinks he is. I don't know. How does that go together?
I've heard some people say that his act is an act. You know, I don't know enough about him to know whether that
would
be true.
I thought that too when I was watching it, Sean. I thought, you know, I wonder if this damn guy is not doing nothing more than acting and giving us a show to make money.
And there was an article that came out, I think it was on medium.com a few days ago, and it talked about the rise of the what's called, I guess, liberally it's called the alt-right. I mean, essentially a lot of people say they're white nationalists, and the rise of that and how it had to do with these gamers that came up, and this, that they're just kind of acting out this fantasy of being different from everyone, and that he's just part of this act. And so who knows, that could be part of it, or he could be serious. We just don't know.
I hear you. He just seemed, like I say, nothing against gay. I have good gay friends, but he's like a flamer, you know. I'm like, are you kidding? And then he writes for that, and I'm thinking, these people would kill somebody like that if they caught him out in the woods acting like that. They'd kill him.
What about the line of pedophilia, though? I mean, has he crossed a line that he hadn't crossed before?
He doesn't care. He needs attention. He's like Trump. He needs attention, which I was going to get into Trump real quick, if I may. How ironic this man is sitting at the over there the other night talking about a terrorist attack going on in Sweden. And at the same token, he's sitting there attacking the fake news.
And
he's
just
making stuff up.
And just to be clear, he has backed off that it was a terrorist attack.
I understand that, but wait a minute. I understand that.
And for listeners who don't.
Already went out there and put it out there, and anybody that saw that, that may not care about, oh, he, you know, he's telling the truth kind of thing.
Well, he said it was because of, he said that refugees were causing more rapes and more crimes.
Well, what he meant to say is he was watching Fox News.
Right.
And he heard something, and he thought he'd spit it out there for everybody to grab a hold of and talk about, probably.
Okay.
And try to make himself look wonderful.
Dan, I'm going to move on because I have lots of people on the line. Thank you so much for calling. All right. Marie Ames from Seminole. You're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Sean.
Hi. Thanks for calling.
I just have a quick note about Charlie Crist. He did attend the Women's March in St. Pete. At least that's one thing he did.
He did. I saw him there. Yeah.
I saw him right, real close to me there. I think he spoke also. Okay, that's it.
All right. Thank you, Marie Ames. Let's go to Brother Nero in Tampa. Hi, Brother Nero. Just one second before you start, I'm going to give out the phone number because there are two lines open right now. 813-239-9663. If you'd like to talk about Charlie Crist or about Marco Rubio or about Milo, any of these topics, and we're going to even talk about Food Not Bombs in just a minute. So 813-239-9663. This is WMNF Tampa. Okay, Brother Nero, go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you.
Good to hear. Good to hear. So I was just listening with great interest about this Milo character. And basically, I heard this news this morning that he has somehow endorsed pedophilia. I'm like, oh my God, what is wrong with this guy? And then when I read today, we all know this guy is a self-described troll. He gets a rise out of people. He does things for reaction, of course. And apparently, from what his very detailed description was, I think I clicked to a link to his website. It was basically a joke that went awry. He was not endorsing it. And he even said that, listen, as a journalist, and I don't know if these are accurate, but what he claimed was, as a journalist, he outed three pedophiles. So he's like, of course, I find it disgusting. He's like, the best way you deal with, you know, something is through humor. So I use the poor joke. So that was basically, it's like these comedians these days, whenever they get in trouble for saying something that's not PC and everyone's like, well, let's delete these people from our lives. They give the explanation of saying, hey, listen, it's humor. That's how I'm getting around it. So he took the comedian route, if you will.
Okay, I will. I appreciate that. I hadn't read that, and so thanks for bringing that to our attention. I'm not sure I buy it, but it could be true. I mean, I'm saying that you're giving me good information. I'm not sure I would believe Milo pretty much anything he told me, but thank you.
Yes, sir. You have a good day, my friend.
Thank you, you too. Appreciate your calling. And here's Kevin Cake. He says, Sean, great show. Can you talk about why Larry Wilmore told Milo to go bleep himself? It was in response to Milo saying Bill should have smarter guests. So apparently Bill Maher, the host who invited Milo on, said that Milo said that Bill should have smarter guests than Larry Whitmore, or Wilmore rather, from the – he used to be on The Daily Show and had his own show too. Didn't take too kindly to that. So thank you for that email, Kevin K. And we'll go back to the phones in just a second. I want to give out the number, 813-239-9663 or dj@wmnf.org. You can text us at 813-433-0885. Who's been holding the longest? All right, Liz in Sarasota, what's on your mind? Liz?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi. I wanted to make a comment about Milo.
Please do.
I didn't know too much about Milo and saw him on Friday Night's Bill Maher. And yes, he does strike me as someone who is out to make a buck by being, you know, he has his political views that he seems to try to back up with some kind of rationale and intellectualism. But in, I don't know, in response to what he said, the pedophilia thing, to venture into a very delicate territory, you know, there is a sub culture out there that's been around for a long time, the man boy cultures, which totally believe in, pedophilia, the intimate, coming out processes of young boys, and it sure sounded to me like he was endorsing that. He was endorsing that, or it didn't sound like an explanation of it. It sounded like an endorsement of it, and I just think he's If we give this guy much fodder, it's a sad statement for our culture if we give him much fodder or buy any books that he may be writing. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
All right, Liz, thanks so much for joining us.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. All right, Jeff in Newport Richey, what's on your mind?
Hi. Listen, I don't condone pedophilia, and if Milo was condoning it, then I disagree with him. But my question is, if instead of being just a sexual preference, suppose Milo converted to Muslim, dropped the age from 13 to 9, and this pedophilia became his religious belief, then would the left be defending him for it instead of demeaning him for it?
Well, let's look at that question that you just asked. Have you ever heard anyone on the left condoning pedophilia?
I've heard them inviting 65,000 Muslims to the marriage equality celebration, which makes no sense to me.
I asked you about pedophilia.
Of course they condone it. If they condone Islam, they condone the pedophilia that is inherent in their culture.
Well, that's a new one. I'm not really sure where you're getting that.
Maybe it's all fake news, right? Where you're not sure where I'm getting it. You've never heard of the gang rapes and everything that goes on in all these refugee-accepting countries.
Gang rapes exist. That's absolutely true. People are gang raped in every culture, unfortunately, and in every part of the world, unfortunately. I'm not sure where you're tying this in with one particular religion.
Well, because it's the prime example for people who are condoning pedophilia. The Muslims do it all the time, and the liberals want to bring Muslims into the country. So if Milo was a Muslim instead of a homosexual, the question is simple. Would he be defended instead of being demeaned?
Yeah, well, I think that... All right, thank you. Thank you, Jeff. That was kind of confusing.
I didn't think you could answer it. Bye.
That was kind of confusing because I've never heard that that one religion has more pedophiles than another religion. That's kind of actually pretty ridiculous. All right, we're going to go right now to to some sound I taped this morning. Our guest could not join us live, so I taped an interview this morning. Desiree Lynn is an organizer with Tampa Food Not Bombs. She was one of the people arrested for sharing food recently. This Thursday, Tampa City Council will discuss its ban on sharing foods in city parks. So here's Desiree Lynn. We'll talk about it after this tape.
On January 7th, seven of our members of Tampa Food Not Bombs were arrested in the middle of doing a food share in Gaslight Park, as we've done for many years. We were pulled away from the table in handcuffs because at the same time there was a playoffs playlist event, a high profile, highly profitable event for the city, and they wanted to disappear the site of homelessness and hunger for the thousands of tourists who are in our community for the day. So they rectified that by quickly arresting and clearing out any signs of a food share happening in a public park that was visible to the event.
And then because of these arrests, it became a big topic that people were talking about, and now Tampa City Council. You went to Tampa City Council. Well, what did you ask them?
Well, we really didn't go there asking them for anything. We went there to voice our concern, our frustration, and our rage at the fact that a critical event that was happening in our community to feed some of the, you know, over 1,800 homeless in our community was interrupted, and that people were still trying to get meals as we were taken away from the table and the food was taken away. We went to city council to voice our concern and to voice our concern also that there would be intimidation for other folks that wanted to address the issue autonomously and bring food out and share with their neighbors. So the outcome of that workshop or the outcome of that city council meeting was for Maniscalco proposed a workshop on amending the ordinance. The ordinance was weaponized against us simply because we were having an event during a high profile event. Largely it didn't apply to us, but the workshop is going to be Food Not Bombs supporters and members and the community at large that's concerned with these issues demanding two equally critical things. One is that the people not be criminalized, not Food Not Bomb centric. We want to ensure that anyone in our community that wants to take the initiative to come outside and share food with people who are hungry and who need a meal won't be criminalized, intimidated, approached, or have any kind of interruption by TPD or the city. And the other thing is that we want the city to take a look at Housing First initiatives. We want them to understand that it costs more money to criminalize folks, to put them into jail, to keep harassing and arresting them, to not look at their mental and medical health issues and things that have created this crisis for them in the first place. And it costs more to do that than it does just to give them a hand to help them and to adopt these Housing First initiatives that have been successful in places that they've been implemented.
If people are interested in attending this Tampa City Council workshop, when and where?
So the workshop is happening on the 23rd. It's happening at 9 a.m. at City Hall. I believe it's this Thursday. So if they come into Tampa City Hall, they can come up to a desk and be directed to the third floor where we'll all be meeting. The beginning of the meeting is public comments. So we're asking every single person in the Tampa community who can come out and support this message that we demand housing first. We demand decriminalization of homelessness and people supporting and helping homeless folks in our community. You can come and you can have your voices be heard. Everyone can. So we're asking everyone to join us.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, that was Desiree Lynn with Tampa Food Not Bombs talking about this Thursday's Tampa City Council workshop to discuss its ban on sharing food in city parks. And you can call us about that if you'd like. We have about 5 minutes left in the show, or we can talk about any of our other topics. I want to read something from the Associated Press. The Russian officials say their ambassador to the United Nations, Vitaly Churkin, has died in New York City at the age of 64. So we'll kind of follow that and see if there's anything interesting. Anything else interesting that comes of that? Also, I have a text message I want to read, and this person says, "Who is this Milo guy anyway? I've never heard of most of what he said. He couldn't understand, and the bottom line is he's still an idiot." That's what someone said. There was one that was talking about how they watch, well, darn it, I lost one of the emails that I can't find right now. But if you want to comment, give us a call, 813-239-9663. Ryan in Spring Hill, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking me. I'll try to keep this brief. I know we're short. I just want to say in general, there's a lot of people that listen to these, you know, very alt-right outlets, I suppose, that are, you know, controversial, but also very contradictory in a lot of the things they say, of course. And unfortunately, you find a lot of people that are supporters of that are have a level of cognitive dissonance where they refuse to believe anything alternative to what they hear from their chosen sources. I do want to comment mostly because one of the gentlemen that followed up on that mentioned about his connection to if he was Muslim, if that would make a difference. I just want to say briefly that there is a very unfortunate thing going on here in this country currently under this administration that we're putting a lot of negative stance on immigrants in general, which are the backbone of this country. Go back 200 years and that's where we came from. But the fact is, you know, this has happened in other countries before. I mean, I don't want to put, or I guess people can draw their own conclusions, but it happened in Germany. First, it was the destruction of the press. It was the, they lessened democracy by, you know, showing that the press was not to be respected or listened to. And then they turned all of the Jewish immigrants as threats, that they were going to increase gang activity and rape and all of these negative stances, which is why so many Germans accepted it when they wanted to oust the Jewish people. And it's happening now with Muslims, with Mexicans. And I think that is, well, I think a lot of people would agree is unethical, immoral, but you can see it happening with the, you know, criticizing of press and criticizing of immigrants who have done nothing wrong and done nothing wrong, but nothing good things for this country. And yet here we are in this state where we're debating if it's okay or not. And I think it's not okay that, you know, this type of propaganda is going on and that, you know, the most powerful people in the world are saying that, you know, immigrants are causing these things, which is potentially going to lead us to a war or at least advocate when they put them all in camps. That's all I had to say about that.
All right, Ryan, thanks so much for that call. I want to thank all of my guests and everyone who called, emailed, and texted today. If you'd like to leave a voicemail with your thoughts, call me at 813-238-8001, extension 114. If you leave a voicemail, I'll play your message next show. You can also join the conversation online at WMNF.org/news. I'll have this show up in the next few hours on WMNF.org/news. You can also join the conversation on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle is at WMNF News. I want to thank our engineers, James Rossi and Jeff Haynes. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of WMNF News Midpoint Monday. Tomorrow at noon, your hero, Mark Bureau, will host Midpoint Tuesday. Stay tuned now for Craig Kopp. He'll be in executive session, and that's coming up after NPR headlines at the top of the hour on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota. Thanks so much for joining.